Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Welcome to Apex Church Christmas Special. I trust that you have been enjoying this service so far. Haven't our team done absolutely wonderful? Well, this year you haven't needed a ticket. You haven't had to try and phone friends to make sure you can get in the room because we are coming into your home. And it's usually this part of the service that I like, just before I say a few words in my talk, to do a little bit of interaction, but of course we're not in the room. So I thought I would just do a little survey to see if it would help us just as we lean into Christmas. So here's a couple of questions that I want to ask you that maybe you can answer to in the room to your family and to your friends. So here we go. How many of you have done all your Christmas shopping? I mean, you've got it nailed. It's done. You can relax. You can sit back. You know that you've got it covered. Well done, you. And then what about how many of you, you're actually anxious about seeing family over Christmas? Some of you are actually going, thank you, COVID-19. It has resolved a lot of problems for me this year. Be very careful how you answer that one. All right, how many of you have spent more online this year than you normally would? Well, I think most of us have probably gone that route. Have you noticed how easy it is now, how familiar we are? We can shop online. But I guess that takes us to our next question. How many of you have started shopping for others and ended up buying something for yourself? Oops, I'm guilty for that one. The danger is when you're searching online, you suddenly go, oh, that would actually make a good gift for me. Hey, don't feel guilty. It's Christmas time. And how many of you are really excited because you have a gift that you're excited about giving to someone this Christmas? Well done, you. I think there's a reason to be joyful. Come on, let's be honest with this last question. How many of you have ever re-gifted a gift at Christmas? I heard recently about a friend who received a book. Oh, he was so happy to get the book. Only problem was that when he opened the flyleaf, the cover, he noticed that there was an inscription because someone had actually sent it to the person that gave it to him. Be careful when you re-gift. And then let me ask you this question. How many of you, you're actually anxious because I'm asking you all these questions? Well, Merry Christmas. And I guess that's what it would have been like in that first nativity. There would have been a lot of anxiety around that first Christmas scene. One of the things I've really missed out on this year, of course, is the Christmas Panto. And big shout out and well done to the Peterhead Panto group. I have so enjoyed last week watching that online. And then the other thing I enjoy, of course, is the children's nativity. So enjoy watching that. And of course, we get anxious in that moment, don't we, as parents, probably even more than the children. We get anxious, are they going to remember their lines? Will they have stage fright? Will someone enjoy the platform too much? Come on, parents, how many of you have been anxious about that? And then the other thing I'll confess that I have missed over this lockdown is the fact that we have had a couple of our lovely ladies in the church were pregnant. And now they have their lovely babies, but we seem to have missed the whole pregnancy. Well, I guess that's something that Mary would have been quite happy to have, that people weren't inquiring or looking or wondering how she was getting on. I guess the truth of the matter is, because of the rumor mill, she would have been quite happy if she could have avoided any public. She would have been happy not to have had the attention. And the scripture we pick up on is actually when we read about her great husband, Joseph, where we read this in Matthew chapter 1, verse 19. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. Hope and fears. That's why I love that lovely line from the Christmas Carol. "The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight." Well, I guess as young parents, they would have been anxious and they would have had a lot of questions. They already knew that it was going to be a boy. But what must it have been like when they realized, hey, we are going to be responsible to raise the Son of God? What will he look like? Will he sleep at night? Will he have toothache? There was lots of uncertainty that would have been in their hearts. But the one thing they were certain of was this, that his name was going to be called Jesus. I remember when we were going to have our firstborn, his name, of course, was Neil. He's been named after me. What's in a name? We were so excited as we were leaning in and waiting for that date. But my wife went past the due date and we were just so anxious that we listened to some great friends who told us, well, you know, what you need to do is you need to take your wife a run over a bumpy road. So that's what we did. Now, let me just say this. Phyllis had already been taking raspberry leaf tablets because she'd been told that that would help induce the pregnancy as well. So here we are trying everything that we could because we could not wait to see that boy. Now, Christopher, our second, when he was born, we were told that Phyllis actually wasn't going to make it to Aberdeen, but they were going to try anyway. So I'm following behind the ambulance in a car just outside of Aberdeen. The ambulance pulls into a lay-by. I jump out of my car. I fall into the ambulance. I look up at Phyllis and I say, "I'm all right." Very selfish. And my son was born there. And as I was following behind that ambulance, and seeing the blue light, I'm going, "Not yet, not yet." For Neil, we couldn't wait. "Come quickly." For Christopher, we're sort of, "Not yet." And I guess that's what it must have been like for Mary and Joseph as they made their way to Bethlehem. There must have been a sense of, we can't wait to have this child. But I guess in their hearts, there also was a sense of, not yet. What an array of emotions must have gone through them, through their heart and through their spirit. They're on their way to Bethlehem. They have great expectations. It's a long journey. There's no room at the inn. Jesus is going to be born in a stable. It's not what they thought. It's not what they had planned. Lots of uncertainty, but in the midst of it, there's hope. And that's why we have entitled this series, "Hope Has a Name. His name is Jesus." You see, let me say some things about the name of Jesus. It's an esteemed name, held in great respect and admired. It is the name above every other name. Bernard of Clairvaux said this, "No voice can sing, nor heart can frame, nor can the memory find a sweeter sound than thy blessed name, O Savior of mankind." That's so true. How we love the name of Jesus. Do you know in the New Testament, over 900 times, that's the name that is used to describe him, Jesus. Of all the titles given, we love that name. Think of the hymns that we sing, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." There is a name I love to hear, I love to sing. It's worth it. Sounds like music in mine ears, the sweetest name on earth. And then what a beautiful name it is, the name of Jesus. Isn't it amazing that for some people his name is nothing more than punctuation at the end of a sentence or a curse word? But for those who know him, it is a name that's esteemed. Not only is it an esteemed name, but you know what? It's an easy name. Jesus. Think about this. Children can say it. Jesus. Adults can say his name. Jesus. regardless of the country that you're in. Often I've been in a foreign lands and I've been in a church service where I'm so glad that someone has been able to translate what is happening. But when it comes to the use of the name Jesus, immediately I could recognize it. I saw recently one of my young cousins, his little baby son, and he was saying to this boy, "Who do we love?" And the little child was going, "Jesus! Who do we love? Jesus!" You know, in a shouted voice or a whispered tone, it is still the most precious name on this earth. It's also easy to remember. One of the things that we love to do here at Apex Church is we dedicate our children to the Lord. I'm always glad when it's an easy name to remember. I've actually dedicated some Nigerian children. Wow, I had to practice those names for a long time to make sure I got it right. But when it comes to Jesus, it's so easy to remember. In fact, the Bible tells us in Acts 2 verse 21, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Think about this, an easy name to pronounce, an easy name to remember. His name is Jesus. When you find yourself in a difficult situation, you can cry on Jesus. If you know you need him as your Redeemer and Savior, you're not going, "What is that name again?" No, my friend, it may seem a simple name, but it's a profound name. And if you call on his name, the Bible says, you shall be saved. But you know what? It's also an enduring name. Born in obscurity 2,000 years ago in a little place called Bethlehem. He lived a sinless, spotless life. He was known as the carpenter's son. His ministry lasted 3 years. He was placed on a cross at 33. But you know what? We still sing songs about him. Libraries are filled with books written about him. He is still the most well-known name in history. Emperors have tried to destroy his name. Philosophies have tried to stamp it out. Tyrants have tried to discredit it. Men have gone to war. Yet he was given a name that is above every other name, the name of Jesus. And it's so descriptive, because Jesus simply means the Lord saves. What a perfect description of why Jesus came. He came to redeem us and save us from our sin. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." I read a Christmas card and I love this. It said, if our greatest need had been information, God would have sent an educator. If our greatest need had been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need had been money, God would have sent us an economist. But since our greatest need was forgiveness, God sent us a Savior. Jesus, there's just something about that name. But you know what? My friend, it's also an exclusive name. Acts 4:12, we read this. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name given under heaven to mankind by which we must be saved. You see, I want you this Christmas to see him as more than a baby in a manger. I want you to see Jesus as your Savior. Salvation is not based on our behavior. If it was based on our behavior, we would all be in trouble. If we were on a nice list or a naughty list, I tell you what, we're all doomed. But the gift of God is based on his grace towards us. The other day I was out driving and accidentally I cut someone else off. Oh, they were mad. They started to shake their fist. They started to mouth at me through the car window, which I always think is very interesting. And I knew I was in the wrong. I was guilty. So I'm looking at them and I'm going, I'm sorry. And I'm sort of trying to make them aware that I realized I'd done a wrong. Well, they were not concerned about how I was apologizing. They kept shaking their fists. I could tell they were mad. And I said to myself, what else can I do? I'm so glad that God is not like that with us. I'm glad that our salvation is not based on our good works or how well we do, but salvation is found in Jesus. And when we respond to his love and the greatest gift of all mankind, I tell you what, we can find peace with our Heavenly Father. When my dad was alive, he loved the Christmas season. I knew that he was ill for a number of years, and we were never sure if it was going to be his last Christmas. I remember as he would sit at the head of the table, I would watch him. I would watch his mannerisms. I would watch how he conducted himself, because I didn't know if we would have another Christmas together. And one of the things my dad loved to do is he loved to give gifts. And I remember one year we had handed out gifts to everyone around the table. We were all joyful. We had eaten so well. It was one of those good days. Dad got up from his seat. He went through to his living room. And then he came through with boxes and boxes of gifts. For the ladies, it was tea sets. For the men, it was VHS tapes. I know I'm dating myself, but we were so glad. You know what? After all the fun, after all the enjoyment, he let us realize that there was still more to come. You see, maybe when it comes to this area of salvation, maybe you're like we were when we were waiting for our first son to come. You couldn't wait. We couldn't wait. But maybe you're like when we were waiting for the second son to come, Christopher, and we're sort of going, not yet, not yet. And maybe you're finding yourself in a place of going, hey, salvation, not yet. I'll wait until I'm older. I'll wait until I'm on my deathbed. I want to say to you, the wonderful thing about knowing Jesus is this. Yes, when we die, we go to heaven and we'll have eternal life. But Jesus has promised that here on earth, that we can live abundant life or life to the full. My friend, in this Christmas special, there is a wonderful name who brings hope to all mankind. His name is Jesus. Hope has a name. But now is the day. Now is the time of salvation. You don't have to wait until you're on your deathbed to respond to the love of God. You can find him today, because now is the day of salvation. Peace with God and peace with mankind. I want to pray for you right now. Dear Father, we thank you on this special night that we can join together and we can speak about that wonderful name, the name of Jesus. Father, I pray right now through this television screen, through the devices that people are watching right now, I pray, oh God, that they would call upon the name of the Lord and realize that they can find the one most wondrous gift that has ever been sent to earth. His name is Jesus.